Got me on. Praise the Lord. Good to see you this morning. In case you didn't notice, we got a bunch of plastic up there. They're getting ready to start on the ceiling up there this week. And so praise the Lord for making some advancement towards getting these things fixed. But I'm glad that you're here this morning. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 11 this morning. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Isn't this weather that God has given to us so beautiful? The leaves changing and we're seeing all the beauty. We could use some rain, but it's good to be here this morning. Good to have you. Psalm 11 this morning. Oftentimes when you read the Psalms, it's hard to understand and realize that David, as he wrote these Psalms, that he was going through a lot in his life. We look at Bible characters like their lives were perfect and they had no issues of life. They had the same problems with their children that we have. They had their same problems with brothers and sisters. Like they had the same problem being falsely accused of things. They had the same problems like you and I have. And so as the psalmists are writing these things, understand and realize that they were human beings just like you and I. So here's what David wrote here in Psalm 11. He says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Why run away? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." He says, it seems like everybody's against me. It seems like my enemy is at every turn and they've got their bow ready to shoot an arrow into me. He says, that's what it seems like. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But look at verse number 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. But look at verse number 7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. The wicked think that they're getting away with things. They think that, hey, everything is fine because they're not being judged right now and that they're getting away with things. May I tell you, God neither sleeps nor slumbers. You may feel like you're being abused. You may feel like nobody cares about you. May I tell you, as you walk with God, God is very aware of what you're dealing with. He understands. He doesn't pity you. God loves you, and he wants to guide you and help you. So this morning, let us choose the way of righteousness. Let us choose to trust and obey him. God's got this handled, and we don't have to worry about that at all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the situations that all of us are dealing with at this very moment. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't have something going on. It may be something that they're dealing with themselves. It may be a loved one or a friend that's dealing with things. Physical problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems. God, you are aware of every single one of them. And Lord, we need to know that you've got it handled. I'm praying for comfort. I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for conviction. I'm praying, God, that you lead us and direct us and guide us. But Lord, not only for us, but for our friends and loved ones who are dealing with issues. God, we cannot make it without you. It is impossible. And so this morning, Father, we pray that your will would be done. We're praying, Father, that you bring comfort to those who need it, wisdom, discernment and direction to those, conviction to those who need to get right with you. And I pray, God, most importantly, that we would praise you and lift up your name on high. Thank you for your patience Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for being a part of the choir this morning.
Amen.
Y'all looking good.
Amen.
Stars often meet us here for presence of soul.
Save me.
all been set free. Say amen this morning. Amen. Amen. You don't want me singing, Ms. Doris. That ain't being set free. That's prison right there. Amen. Amen. Got to just take a few minutes and take some time for testimonies. I've got a card here from Carla Fisher. Thank you, church family, for the dinner you provided for our family after the funeral. Services for Carolyn Hughes Losiah. We will miss her dearly, but find comfort in knowing that she belonged to Jesus. Praise God for her salvation and for her life. Thank you, and God bless the Hughes family. And so, not Losiah, it's Lossie, right? I pronounced it wrong, of course. So, but praise God, and thank you so much for church family stepping up and helping the family during this time especially. Delisa, yeah. Go ahead. You go ahead.
It's whatever you want to do. If you want to say right there, good, that's fine.
I'll try to be loud. Hi, my name is Delisa Inslee. A lot of you don't know me, but I grew up in this church. My mom, Deanne, is in the back. We just wanted to take a minute to thank you all for your love and support to us. This will be our last Sunday. And, has meant a great deal to all of us. We've been a part of this family for 50 years. Ooh, that doesn't age me at all. I was saved here at Victory Bible School, and Miss Reba's class when I was 11, and my brother and I were baptized here. My dad, Dick Inslee, taught Sunday school for many years. The singing in the choir has been wonderful because it brings back so many memories. And I have to tell you that over the years, I've lived in different places, but I've always thought these songs come back to me a lot, and they give you a lot of comfort when you need it. So being part of a church family is the greatest gift you'll ever have. And we just wanted to say thank you for your love and support. Daddy went to be with the Lord in May, so there's a lot of changes in our life now. And I have to say, he loved this church with all of his heart. Anytime he could be here, he was able to be here. He was in that pew. He was, you know, rejoicing and just loving being part of this family. And Mom and I have talked a lot about how many young people we see and young families here. We're so encouraged. And I want to tell you all that being a part of a church family is the greatest gift you'll ever give your children.
Amen.
All through the years, they're going to have that foundation, that strength, that knowledge of the Lord. And in this time that we live in, it's priceless.
Amen.
So I encourage you all to keep that and encourage others to grow. This is a wonderful place to grow up and be a part of. And we're always going to be praying that God is going to continue to help Victory Baptist thrive and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And pray for us as we transition. In this new chapter, we know that God goes before us. We believe that he is going to strengthen us and give us comfort and wisdom as we move forward. Life is always changing. And like you said, even those in the Bible had some tough times. But always, always, always God went before them. And so we just want to say we love you and thank you all so much.
Can you
say it loud enough, you think?
Last night I got
trusted
in Jesus Christ in my heart.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He trusted the Lord as his Savior last night at home. So praise the Lord. His mom and dad have been talking to him about it. Amen. Somebody else have a testimony this morning. Jordan?
Church family is very important because when you're going through the wilderness outside, you need that renewal and strength.
Yes.
My aunt Oma Taylor, she's in the nursing home and she's. She doesn't expect to be going back home, but she may keep on going for years and years like she always has. But I don't know. And It's been a rough week. But being here, I know I'm loved and I feel safe. And just for all the kids out there, if you know your mom and dad love you, or if your aunt and uncle love you, just let them love you, because they want the best for you. But they don't ever want to see you hurt or be hurting. My aunt saw me hurting for 5 long years. I did nothing but drink, and I couldn't stop. And the last person for her to, she was the last person to see me before I went off to rehab. And now I've been sober for over 7 years. And it's all thanks to my loving family and my loving church family, because if I didn't have either, I wouldn't be alive right now, and I wouldn't be saved. I have eternal salvation because of God, but I have that Heavenly Father and that love inside me because of my family put me in a place where they knew that you could feel love. Yeah. And it's in God's arms, it's in God's grace. So when you accept the Lord Jesus to come into your soul, it is the most comforting thing you can ever possibly do. Because when you're feeling so low and you feel like the whole world's against you and you feel like just giving up, you don't have to.
Amen.
Because your Heavenly Father loves you above all things, all creation. And He loved my dad so much. And my dad's up there celebrating with Him. And one day my aunt will, and my mom will, and everyone in front of me. And one day I will. But the grief is not for them or for him. It's us that we grieve, because we know they're going to a better place and we're down here. But it's okay, because God still loves us and He will always protect us. And no evil will come to you so long as you're in His arms. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else want to testify this morning? Praise the Lord, Sarah. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? So, anybody else? Okay. All right, Scott. Where are you at, Scott? Oh, there you are. Come on up if you would. Miss Linda? Oh, okay. All right. All right, come on up, Scott.
So, that's a good... what we just heard is really ties into what I wanted to tell you about one of our missionaries, and I'd say they're my favorite missionaries to talk about, because they're, y'all know Dave and Sue Rodman. I consider them my friends, and I know them well. But let's not take for granted that we have this opportunity to meet together, and we can easily a get together. We have many opportunities right here in our church to get together and study the Word of God, and
Amen.
it's so vital, and we need to keep it up and grow in that. Because listen, what Dave and Sue got to do over in their host country is what they call it in their email. They live in a very volatile country. They don't even put the name of it in their email. And so in their host country, they can't go in the village that they used to decades ago. And so they go in the big city, and the village people come to them and study the Word of God. Listen to what we're going to pray from Andres, Ramona, Joel, Winona, and Abel did to study the Word of God. They traveled 8 days to go study the Word of God. So if you guys go like, oh, took me so long to fly here or there, like, let's put it into perspective, right? They traveled 8 days by foot and by boat and on buses on these terrible roads to go into the city and study the Word of God for 7 weeks straight with Dave and Sue. How's that, right? So let that, for me, it was very convicting. Like, I think I'd rather watch football than study the Word of God. Like, ooh, ouch, right? But I don't want to bring, you know, false conviction on people either, but however this makes you think, it really made me think. So they came, studied the Word of God 7 weeks, and then did the 8 days back. And so these are just regular, these aren't even fellow missionaries. They're just regular folks like you and I that belong to the church in the J Village that they went to for years. And so, and they were studying Titus and Ephesians for 7 straight weeks, and they're going to bring it back home and encourage their churches. And the people in that village have gone out to the whole area in that in their area, in their country, and they're encouraging. They're like, and they're hungering for the Word. And they said, well, why haven't the missionaries translated the Word more? And then they said, they came to one of the passages. The Bible is very practical, right, guys?
Amen.
Here's what Ephesians 6:18 says, and they share it in their letter. Be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. They said, well, are you praying for more Bible translations? And they're like, no. And they said, well, let's pray. Let's keep it in our hearts to pray for one another. And that's what we can do too, right? Let's pray for each other that we'd have a hunger and thirst for righteousness and the Word, right? That's what these guys are doing. And so these are the three prayer requests they had for their fellow missionaries and the people in their villages around. So we're going to pray these for them. So I'm just encouraged, and they have heartaches just like we do. Here's what's happening in their illnesses in their village. They have people suffering from malaria, parasites, snake bites, colds, and flu, and several babies have died. Recently, a 10-month-old brought in at 3 a.m. died in our co-worker's arms. So there's a lot of heartache and sickness in their villages. We need to pray for them as well. And so let's pray. Here's their prayer requests. Instead of saying, let's just go ahead and pray for them. Lord, we pray for the fellow believers at home in the host villager that they be challenged to remember the things we had learned from the scriptures. And they feel spiritually weak, Lord, we pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them. And we pray for the missionaries, Alex, Sonildi, Anita, and Gilzai, would learn the J language really well and begin to translate more and more scripture into the language as soon as they can. And we pray for wisdom in recognizing new pastors in the various communities like they learned from studying Titus. And Lord, we pray for our hearts to be pricked by this as well, that we'd be encouraged to study the Word of God more fervently and to take it into our community and spread the Word of God. The time is near and the time is drawing close, and we want to feel that urgency. And we praise you and thank you for our families and for the families there that have lost loved ones and children. We pray that you would encourage them. And for here, for our loved ones and our families, we pray for health, and we pray for those that have lost loved ones that you would encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Scott. Gentlemen, come on forward. Take up our offering this morning. Come on down. Part of how we finance the missionaries is our offerings, the missions offerings. And so praise God for that. Amen. Got 1, 2, 3. I need one more. Is he coming down, Jordan? Thank you, buddy. Amen. All right. That's for the
Amen. There we go. Okay. All right, Danny, would you pray for the offering, please?
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to return to you, Father, a portion of what you've blessed us with.
Yes.
Father, we understand you've greatly blessed us. Father, we thank you for loving us. And Father, we pray now that as we take up this offering, that we'll use it as you'd have us use it. Father, we pray that it will go on to further your word and that more people will be saved.
Yes.
In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Good to see everybody today. Good to have our visitors with us. Welcome to our church this morning. Pray that you'll worship with us this morning. If you'll stand and join me, number 329 in the church hymnal, sing a couple verses together. Standing on the Promises. It's number 329 in the church hymnal. If you need a book, we'll get it pulled up right there. 329.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
How many are standing on those promises this morning that God has made to us? Second verse, listen to the words.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. Standing on the promises of God.
Y'all fellowship, the choir will come on down. Children can be dismissed to children's church also. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Trusting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises.
standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. If you'll remain standing now, we're going to sing one more song together. How great thou art this morning. Aren't you glad that God's so good to us? He's so great. How great thou art. The words will be on the screen this morning. Everybody singing together. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, how great God, how great thou art, how great thou art. We're going to sing the last verse, start with no music, last verse now. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thank you. Maybe see.
Troubles, does he understand? Sometimes I question if he's able. Can he rescue? Can he save me again and again? But when I look back, did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So, yes, he. Defeat the darkness. Did he deliver me? Yes, he did. So, yes, he can. Yes, he did. So, yes, he can. Sometimes those voices try to tell me I'm forgotten and I've fallen too far from his hands. but I know what kind of God he is, and I'm trusting in his promises. I'm believing and I'm singing, yes, he can. Did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So, yes, he can. Did he defeat the darkness? Did he deliver me? Yes, he did. So, yes, he can. Yes, he did. So, yes, he can. Too much now I can't deny. He's come through every single time, from the beginning until the end. He did, he will, he can. Did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Did he defeat the darkness?
February 1984, Lackland Air Force Base, Texas. A young, barely turned 18-year-old standing on a concrete pad, 3 o'clock in the morning. There were 39 other young men in the same shape. Long hair, various types of clothing, standing as they were encircled by 3 drill instructors, screaming and hollering and calling us everything they could think of to try to get us to mess up. As I stood there, as still as I could stand, I did my best to blend in. I did my best to the point where I didn't want in to be noticed whatsoever, because I saw what happened to others who had flinched or had laughed or smirked, and instantly that DI was in front of them, screaming at them, asking them what they thought was so funny. It seemed like every little bitty thing that we did wrong, we were hollered and screamed at for the next 6 weeks. You couldn't breathe right. You didn't stand in line right. Heaven forbid a piece of your uniform had a piece of string on it. Heaven forbid you didn't salute right. I remember walking out of the dorm one day, carrying my laundry in my right hand. An officer came by and I saluted with my left hand. And if you're in the service, you understand that is a big no-no. He screamed and hollered at me for what felt like 5 hours, because I had committed a major faux pas doing that. It didn't seem like we could do anything right. And the day of graduation came. We got to march. We got to show that we were indeed part of the United States Air Force. And we felt proud. But the problem was, we still had the scars of listening to those scream at us for every little bitty thing we did wrong. And those still stick with me at times. You can ask my wife when we go to eat. I eat in about 5 minutes. In basic training, you had to eat in 5 minutes and then be out of there. I still carry that with me. They said, what's that got to do with anything? Well, we've been talking about Jesus making certain statements, and we've been talking about those statements and what they meant. This morning, We want to look at a conversation that Jesus had. Not just a simple statement, but conversation. See, a lot of people, and especially when Jesus was here in just a moment, you'll see, they were so stuck on following rules that were made by man that they couldn't enjoy living what God had given to them. May I tell you this morning, there may be somebody in this very room at this very moment who is so scared of stepping out of man's rules that they can't enjoy the life that God has given to them. They have to dress a certain way, they have to sound a certain way, they have to look a certain way, they have to do a certain way. And if they don't, God doesn't love them anymore. May I tell you, that is not biblically correct. So I want us to turn to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. And as we talk about this, now if you don't have a Bible in front of you, there should be a Bible in the pew. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Jesus didn't hate those who opposed him. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, and especially the Gospels, we see him having conversations with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we see him having those conversations with the religious people. He didn't hate them. He didn't want them to be miserable. He didn't want them to be stuck on these rules and regulations. He loved them. He loved them enough to tell them the truth. But he never backed down from what was right. Here in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 1. Now, Jesus had just gotten through healing several people. Verse number 15, or chapter 15, verse number 1, it says, "And then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem." So Jesus is doing this healing in Gennesaret, and he's healing people's lives and changing them. And then all the muckety-mucks, the big religious leaders from Jerusalem, they hear about this, and they gang up and they come to see Jesus. Now, it was very unusual to see Pharisees and scribes together. Pharisees didn't hang around with anybody. All right? They didn't like Sadducees. They didn't like scribes. Sometimes they didn't even like themselves. Pharisees were the religious leaders and they thought they were all better. And there's something that occurred to me at this time. This was part of the Sanhedrin, part of the religious ruling. I believe, just from thinking and studying, that Saul of Tarshish was one of these that came and spoke to Jesus this day. We all know who Saul of Tarshish is. He becomes Paul the Apostle. But before Paul trusted Christ as his Savior, he was one of the religious leaders. And I kind of believe that he was one of these folks that came and spoke to Jesus in this conversation. It says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. They were of Jerusalem. And here's what they said to Jesus. Why do thy disciples transgress," here's an important, "the tradition of the elders?" They're not saying, why are they transgressing the word of God? They don't say, why are they going against what they know is right? Why are they going against the tradition of elders? See, that's a very big difference. There's the tradition, and then there's God's word. There's man's rules, and then there's God's word. The Pharisees could care less about people. They wanted power, they wanted position, and they wanted to make sure people followed their rules. Matter of fact, there were several hundred oral laws that the Pharisees came up with, in addition to what the scriptures taught. This was called the Mishnah. And what they would do is they would teach these oral laws as just being as important as what the Word of God said. And so when they were watching everything that Jesus and his disciples did, they saw an opportunity. They said, oh, we're going to pounce on them now. Because if Jesus says that we're not to do what our oral laws say, the Mishnah says, then we can get him and we can call him a heretic. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition or the Mishnah of the elders? And then they give them a specific reason. They said,
for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. How many of you agree it's good to wash your hands before you eat dinner? Yeah, of course that makes sense. Okay? All the boys and girls, look at me. Wash your hands. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. I don't want you to leave it out here saying, well, Brother Brian said I didn't have to wash my hands. No, don't do that. But the problem is, they're not just talking about eating regular meal. They're talking about a spiritual gathering. They're saying, why aren't your disciples washing their hands and purifying themselves before they participate in spiritual activities? There's nowhere that it says they ought to wash their hands before doing this. Now, it's a good idea, but it does not say to be right with God, you got to wash your hands. You ever heard that saying, godliness and cleanliness together? I believe in being clean, okay? So don't look at me like, oh, come on now. But it's got nothing to do about being godly. So he says, why, dear disciples, why do they not hold their traditions? It wasn't just the washing of the hands. It was everything. I love how Jesus dealt with them. Look what he said. But he answered, and he said unto them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? He says, he didn't answer their question. He said, why do you go against God's word by trying to keep your traditions? Now that made them step back. They're thinking, now what are you talking about? We don't go against God's word. We follow God's word to the nth. We jot every T and we dot every I. What are you talking about? Now, I know me. And I don't want to get into a biblical contest with Jesus Christ. All right? I don't want to get into an argument with him about what the Bible says. All right? But they're challenging him. Look what he says. He says, for God commanded, and this is what God commanded, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. He says, word of God says that you're supposed to honor your mother and your father. And if you don't honor your mother and your father, they ought to be stoned. That's what it said. Taken outside of the city and killed with gigantic stones. Wow. Could you imagine that being nowadays? There would be no children. But in all honesty, we wouldn't be here either. All right? Some of us were a handful. All right? Some of you were not. Those of you who are here aren't. Those who weren't here are the ones who were the handful. He says, if you don't honor your mother and your father, and they're thinking to themselves, what are you talking about? Of course we honor our mother and father. Here's what he says. But you, this is what you declare, that whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and you honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now he's thinking, what is he talking about here? Here's what they would do. This was one of the first tax evasions. Okay? What they would do is they would say, okay, we're going to set aside a chunk of money. And this money was supposed to be used to take care of the mother and the father in their old age. All right, I think that's a pretty good idea, taking care of your mom and daddy when they get old. All right, I'm getting there, JT, so pay attention to this, okay? All right. They would take a set of money and they would set it aside that was to be used for their mother and father. But what would happen is these Pharisees, some of them would have the tendency to say this. Well, we're going to take that money and we're going to give it to God. And when we give it to God, then that means we can't use it for anybody else or anything else. And so we're going to take this money and we're going to set it aside and we're going to use it for God's needs. So mom and dad, when you're needing help, I'm sorry, we don't have any money because we gave it to God. How many are recognizing a raw deal right there, okay? So they say when their mom and dad would come to them saying, hey, we need some help. We're old. And they would say, well, I'm sorry. That money's not available anymore. We've given it to God. You downright dirty dogs. They had no desire to give it to God. They were just having a tax shelter. They were setting it aside for their own use because what they would do is they would then dip into that fund and they would use it for their own personal needs. They would use it for their own personal use and had no desire to give it to God. And they thought they were fooling everybody because they were the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders and they would use it like they wanted to. And they thought nobody knew. But may I tell you this? God knows everything. And Jesus saw right through it. He says, okay, so you say you're honoring your mother and your father, but look what you're really doing. You're taking money intended to take care of them and you're hiding it. Verse number 7. You hypocrites. Wow. Well said Isaiah when he said this, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me not, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Here's the point. If you are doing what you do because you want to impress man and because you're trying to meet the needs and the thing of what people say instead of doing what you do to bring honor and glory to God, you're no longer worshiping God, you're worshiping man. If you're so worried about breaking little bitty rules to make man happy, you've ceased worshiping God with your heart and you've started worshiping people with your deeds. And then what happens is that we start lifting ourselves up and we start comparing ourselves to other people. Well, I don't wear that type of clothing. And I don't go to these certain things. And my relationship is this. So I'm better than so-and-so. That person down the street, surely there's something wrong with them because they don't dress the way I dress. And heaven forbid, now here's the big one, they don't go to church. And if they don't go to church, there's something wrong with them. Honestly, I don't know of anybody that has made it to church every single time they gather. Well, wait a minute, Brother Brian. That means I got to be at church all the time, otherwise God doesn't love me? No. Got nothing to do with it. If you're coming to church because you're trying to keep somebody off your back, may I tell you, you're coming to church for the wrong reason. We ought to gather together to worship God on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Wednesday night, Sunday night, whenever. Not because we're trying to keep people happy and not because we're trying to keep people off our back. We got to do it to demonstrate, say, God, I want to know more about you. God, I want to be with other people. I want to worship you in a congregation of people that love you. That's why we come. It ought not to be because I got to check off a block. I'm glad you're here. So don't leave, okay? Don't get up and pack your stuff up and leave. I'm glad you're here. But why are you here? May I tell you and confess something to you this morning? I need to be here. I need to be with you. You sharpen me. I love you. I love hearing your conversations. I love hearing the decisions that you make. Man, Fisher, he's over. May I tell you what? Fisher, bless my heart by standing up and saying he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Delisa, we're going to miss you guys, but guess what? I praise God for what he's done in your life. 50 years, you don't look that old, Delisa. Jordan, man, standing up and praising God for what he's doing in your life. Praise the Lord. That's what we need. That's why we come. If you're just following man's rules, I'm sorry. We got to do what we do because we love God. Thank you, Brother Brian, for that out. So I'm going to go home and tell my parents, well, I don't want to go to church because I just feel like I have to go now. No. That's not what Jesus is saying. Look what he says. Now, I'm glad it doesn't stop right there. And he called the multitude, verse 10, and he said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. What's inside eventually comes out. You can play the game and you can hide and you can present one image. But in reality, what's really inside is what eventually is revealed. If you're just playing a game because you're trying to make people happy, may I tell you, you're the most miserable person in the world. We ought to live our lives to bring honor to God because we love Him for what He did for us, not because you're trying to keep so-and-so happy with you. Amen? Jesus loves us in spite of us. And He wants us to gather. I want every time the doors are open, I want you to come. Come on, yes. Let's worship together. But don't do it because you're afraid of getting a phone call. Do it because you want to worship God. Now, I love this next. Look at that. I can just hear this. Verse number 12. Then came his disciples, and they said unto him, I can just hear it. Don't you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Jesus, you don't know what you've done. You've made them mad. Because I'm sure the Pharisees are standing over there fuming. Now, they were so upright that they couldn't display anger. They were so godly that they couldn't get mad. They had to stand there, but their faces, I'm sure, were contorted. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I don't know if you know what you've done, but you've done made them mad. Don't you know that? Brothers and sisters, if the truth makes you mad, you need to look at your heart.
That's right.
We all need correcting. Except for me, I'm the pastor. I don't need correcting. I'm just teasing. We all need correcting. All right? And if it makes you mad when you're corrected, and you know that you've been corrected in the right way, and it makes you mad, check your heart. And all the wives said, He answered them. Here's what He told them. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted, it shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. He says, it's eventually going to be revealed who is right and who is wrong. You're going to tell by what their lives do if they're really following God or if they're following man. May I tell you this morning, you're not here for me. And if you're here for me, you're here for the wrong reason. I'm not here for you. I love you, and I'm glad to be here with you. But I'm not here for you. I'm here for Him. And sometimes finding that balance is very difficult. Because sometimes we want to do right, but we don't know how to do right. And we realize if we don't do right, that things are not going to end well. May I tell you this? Sometimes we just need to say, God, help me. God, I want to do right. I want to go to church and I want to read my Bible and I want to pray and I want to do all these things, God, but it hurts and it's so hard. So then what do? Just quit. No. God, help me. I want to worship you. I remember a time where a woman could not come into a church building wearing pants. And certain other things, and they would not allow them to come in. That was a hard time. Because they didn't know the heart. I praise God that we can come into an auditorium and we can love people for who they are, not what they look like.
Amen.
Now, I believe that we ought to do the best we can do for the Lord. I believe we ought to dress the best we can dress. I believe, but we ought not to be based upon what we look like on the outside. It ought to be based what we look like on the inside. Everything ought to be done decently and in order. Instead of judging people for what they do, we ought to be loving people for who they are. I have a hard enough time with myself. I don't have time to judge you. Jesus said, "You got a problem, Pharisees, with my disciples not washing their hands? You got a problem by dishonoring your parents. So which is worse, not washing your hands or dishonoring your parents? Which one's worse?" Neither. Brothers and sisters, let's get our hearts right with God. Let's love each other. And if we'll start loving each other and doing what God wants us to do, we don't have enough time to judge each other. Amen? Some of you look like you've been drinking some persimmon juice this morning. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want you here every time the doors are open. Not so that I can broadcast and say, "Oh, we had this many people in church." No, I want you here so I can worship God alongside you. I need you. So don't miss. Because I love you. I want to be with you. I know I'll probably get some emails. Just do me a favor. Don't slash my tires. I love you. And I want to be with you. I want to worship God with you. Every time we can. And did you know that it's okay to gather with believers outside of this building? You can be with two or three other believers at Deep Creek. You can spend time with your family at home reading the Bible. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. Let's make it a habit of gathering together. One other verse. Let me show you. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Now see, since we fell back an hour, I get a whole extra hour this morning. You say, well, Brother Brian, you got an hour, but I ain't going to be here. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Hebrews chapter number 10. Verse number 19. One of my favorite passages. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Knowing what Jesus has done for us, it ought to motivate us to do right. Knowing what Jesus has paid for us ought to motivate us to want to live for Him. Knowing what Jesus has sacrificed for us ought to make us want to sacrifice for other people. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us prove it without wavering. Why? For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Why do we gather here? Because we love each other. Why do we gather here? Because we want to show that we love one another and encourage one another. During COVID, when this building was shut down for a couple weeks, it was the most miserable time. I had to preach to a camera and I hated it. Because I missed you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Instead, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Coming to church doesn't make you saved, and not coming to church doesn't make you unsaved, but coming to church loves one another and provokes and encourages one another. Scott's mission reports ought to encourage us. Danny leading us in the congregational singing ought to encourage us. The choir singing ought to encourage us. Me not singing ought to encourage you. Shaking hands and the offering, it ought to encourage one another. And then hearing God's word, that's just the cherry on top. Don't do what you do for people. Do what you do for God. That's what Jesus was trying to get people to understand. Now, when He said that, the Pharisees got so mad, they got together with the Sadducees, who they hated most of the time, and they got together with the scribes, who they despised, and they started gathering together and they said, we got to put a stop to this. We can't let Him be speaking like this anymore because it's going to hurt us. We're going to lose our power. May I tell you, I'd rather lose men's power and be right with God. Amen. Amen. I'm not giving you permission to miss church. If you're just coming just to be here, come on, but come because you want to worship the Lord and learn about Him, that you can be loved on. I want to teach you. I want to love on you. And I want to be loved by you. I need you. So, Brother Brian, what do we do? If Jesus said it, obey it. Worshiping God is the internal, not external. Let's love one another and let's obey God because that's what He wants. And all God's people said, well, what do I do if I have a question? Pray about it, study, and get counsel. Let's talk about what the Bible says. That's the best way to do it. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. I'm letting you out early. I don't know what issues of life that you're dealing with, because I'm dealing with the issues of life too. I don't know what's going on in your world, but may I tell you, God does and He knows and He cares. Maybe this morning you need forgiveness. Maybe this morning God is dealing with you and you need someone to walk alongside you as you struggle. Guess what? We're all struggling and we'll walk with you and we'll love you and we'll pray with you and help you. Maybe you got a problem with judging others. Maybe you need God to just speak to you. Whatever the need is, the altar is open. You are welcome here. And I'm glad you're here. Love each other, but most importantly, love God. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. Father, I'm a poor mouthpiece. But I thank You, God, that You've chosen me and called me to share Your word. But Father, I'm praying for these precious souls in here this morning that they would forget what I've said, but instead they would learn and listen to what You have said. You are our only hope. Thank You for forgiving us through Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for Your mercy and grace. Now please take Your word and apply it to our hearts. Please, God. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The altar is open. If you have a need, whatever it is, come, we'll pray with you.